Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in the midst of us, that you are here to encourage us, to speak to us, to teach us. Lord, we welcome you here in this church, in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. There are exciting times ahead. I don't know whether you were at the central bus station this week, but there were posters everywhere about the coming upheavals that will befall the land of Israel, with a lot of warnings and a strong appeal to the people to keep the commandments. And there was a link made between the commandments and the avoidance of disasters. With other words, if we keep the commandments, then the disasters will go away. There's an exciting time ahead of us, I'm sure, but I don't know whether I can agree with all these posters and with the website. It's called M424. But Jesus had also some interesting things to say about the future. So I want to speak about the future and about the question, how to face the future. How should we approach the future? What should be our attitude to the time ahead? Let's pray. Oh, we prayed already. Okay, sorry. Let's open the Bible in the Tevilim, in the Psalms 112, and in John 14. Psalm 112, verse 7 and 6, and let's start with verse 1. I will read 112, verse 1, 6, and 7. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. And verse 6. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And then John 14, I start with 21. Although the whole chapter and also the chapters 15 and 16 deal about the future, but I will take only a small part of it. John 14, verse 21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me and will not obey my teaching. Those words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So Jesus had an important talk with his disciples. He was to be arrested, he was to be crucified, to be resurrected, and he would ultimately depart from them. So it was no wonder that the disciples were worried. A time of turmoil was ahead, and it was not clear to them what would happen next. It could easily be that the movement around Jesus would fall apart, like it had happened with many other spiritual leaders, and that Jesus would be one of those who would be forgotten. But look, we are here. What happened? Now, Jesus had said in verse 19, a little bit before, that he would show himself to the disciples, but not to the world. Jesus said, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me." Now, Judas, he did not understand what Jesus meant. Because how could it be that Jesus would appear to them, but not be at the same time in the limelight, and that people would scrutinize his words like it happened before? Jesus is here not discussing the appearances that would happen after the resurrection. He was talking about a much broader and deeper revelation, and this revelation would be connected to the Holy Spirit, and that's important, loving him and obedience. So he gives Judas a further explanation. Through the Spirit, the presence of Jesus would be perpetuated. Jesus demonstrated the personality of God to man when he was walking on earth. But after his departure from the earth, the Holy Spirit would make Jesus real to his followers. So, the idea is not to be afraid, but expecting his presence. Be open for his presence. The Lord promises his presence. Now, when I looked and read and thought about this text, I thought, there are actually four lessons I think we can learn from the words of Jesus. And these lessons are this. One, realize that Jesus does not leave you alone. Second, obey the Lord because he loves you and you love him. Third, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Four, do not be afraid, but trust the Lord. One, realize that Jesus does not leave you alone. There was a lecture recently I gave about politics in Holland, and then somebody asked me, people can always ask questions, of course, that's nice. Somebody asked me, how would you like to be a reporter in the days of Joshua, or the days of David, and be a witness of all those wars? So I had to give him an honest answer. First I was thinking, what do I have to say now? It's a very difficult question. But I said, to be honest, I'm glad I was not a reporter in those days of Joshua. But I immediately added, It would have been very interesting to follow Jesus for a couple of days. And I mean that. I think that would be very interesting to see how everything went, what he said, and what people were around him. And also, it would be very interesting to talk to him and to ask him all the theological and personal questions I have. Questions about the future, about what to do and what not to do. You know, how long to stay in Israel? Or to go back? Or whatever. Or to change direction in your life. But the good news is that Jesus did not depart from us. He is with us. Later on chapter 16, verse 1, he says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if you go, I will send him to you." So it is the presence of the Spirit who delivers us from being alone, from loneliness. He is with us always. Of course, the social relations with brothers and sisters and with family and with other people are very important as well. And especially the relations in the church. But ultimately, the relationship that matters most, and this we all know very well, the relationship that matters most is the relationship with the Father. And there are moments in your life, and certainly at the end of your life, when that relation with the Father is actually the only relation that really matters, that is really important, that is really crucial. So we should take care that our relation with the Father is well. The Father will dwell in us. Jesus will dwell in us. And the Holy Spirit will dwell in us. So we can and we must realize that we are not alone. Secondly, obey the Lord because He loves you and you love Him. There are many, actually, if the Bible is about obedience. We all understand that. There are many, many times in the Bible, actually in the whole Bible, that the Lord calls upon His people to obey Him, to worship Him, to have Him as God alone, and to follow His commands. There are many reasons for obeying the Lord. I will mention only a few. Paul speaks about a clear conscience. He tells Timothy to keep his instructions that he might hold on to faith and have a good conscience. Or it could be that somebody realized that there is a connection between obedience and blessings. And this is really something that we find in the Bible. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it's written, "If you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully follow all His commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth." This is what He said to the people of Israel. Or it could be that you seek a reward, a greater reward. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 and 10, we read, "So we make it our call to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Or it could be we could obey because we think it will be good for our walk with the God. And that's, of course, that's true. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 8, He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." So all these Bible verses, and there are many more, they point out to the importance of obedience. But Jesus makes here the connection between obedience and love. And that's very, very crucial. The main motive for obeying Him should be His love for us and our love for Him. We can never separate obedience from love. He said in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And in 1 John, the Apostle John, in his letter, in his first letter, in the 5th chapter, in verse 3, he says, this is the love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. So Jesus connects obedience with love. Both are interrelated. We cannot separate one from the other. And he loves us. He loves us even if we sin. And he loved us before we started to obey him. And even if we don't obey him, he will love us. But still, he wants us to change. To change our ways and to obey him. Now there are of course, and you understand there are of course many things in the Bible that the Bible speaks very clear about what we should do and what we should not do. But there are also things that are very personal. For instance, there are people who feel that the Lord asked them not to use alcohol. Or there are people who feel the Lord is asking them not to use internet or television or even a particular newspaper. It could happen. It could be the guidance of the Holy Spirit can be very personal. And it's important to obey if the Holy Spirit prompts you. Because you will feel, you will see that it leads to breakthroughs in your spiritual life. That something it's a kind of stronghold that you have to deliver to the Lord, and then other things they fall into place. It's very important that we obey him, that we obey the Spirit in our lives. And the good news is that Jesus died on the cross to break the power of darkness, to break the power of sin. He was imprisoned, he was captured that we could be set free. He took our place. We are in him, so we don't have to carry this imprisonment. We can be free. We can be free because Jesus, he freed us. This is the good news. He took our place. Number 3. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. One of the blessings of obedience is that the Father will come to you and make home with you. Now note that Jesus makes this connection between he will dwell in you, but you have to obey. He makes that connection. John Powell, and this is a spiritual leader who was quoted in the book of Joyce Huckett called Listening to God. He says, he's speaking about the Spirit, he widens my vision, helps me to see what is really important. He comes to me in the listening, receptive moments of prayer, and he transfuses his power unto me. The Spirit, who is leading us, can help us to distinguish between things that are important and are not important, between things that must be done and must not be done. Jesus did not do what he did not the Father see doing. He gave the Father all the space to do his work through him. There is always a lot of work to do. It can drive us crazy. You can easily get a burnout here in Israel, in other countries as well. But you have all the time to realize, is this really what the Lord wants me to do? When Jesus went into the pool of Bethesda, there were a great number of people who were sick. blind and lame and paralyzed. But Jesus healed one of them. And then he apparently left. And of course there was a big discussion afterwards. And Jesus explains, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. And we have to aim for the same. Number 4. Do not be afraid, but trust the Lord. Now, if it comes to the future, as a journalist, of course, we always ask the experts and the professors at the universities and the politicians, what will happen next? What will happen in 2 months? What will happen in half a year? What will happen in 10 years? Well, often people are wrong. Or they are partly right and partly wrong. Some people who were right, it's very interesting, people who were right, but people warned about the water crisis, for instance. They were right. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was predicted that it would happen. They said, if the policy continues like that, you know, it will happen. There will not be enough water. So they were right. But mostly, if it comes to the future, it's very hard to know what will happen. So, if you get worried by the news or by the newspapers, they're not meant to make you worry, but it is, you should always take it with a salt of grain, you know, because you can't really know what will happen. But still, it's likely that the coming weeks and months and years are full of uncertainties. I will mention only a few. In ministry, the situation of the visa is very problematic at the moment. It makes many believers feel very uncertain. It's hard for them to plan the future. And it's hard for Christian organizations to continue, maybe even in the future. At least to continue in the way they always did. And then in health, it is now predicted, yesterday it was predicted by the World Health Organization that as many as 2 billion people could be affected by the swine flu in the next 2 years. And it's spreading much faster than other kinds of influenza. So it is now a question whether the government should open the schools after the summer holidays. So this is an uncertainty. But by the way, this was also something that was partly predicted. It was partly predicted. Because a couple of years ago, in Foreign Affairs wrote that viruses would change and we would have an outbreak of the H1N1 virus, and it will spread over the whole world and it will kill about 40% of the people. Well, we see that's not happening. And I'm the Lord very grateful for that. Probably you too. But it's partly predicted. You know, it is less deadly than was predicted. In economy, it seems that the financial crisis has reached the bottom in the United States, but the road to recovery is difficult and long. And it could be that the worst is still to come in Israel. And in Holland, I was speaking to an editor, and they said the big blow will be in autumn. Then there will be mass layoffs. Many people will lose their jobs. And it can affect ministries. It can affect fundraising. And insecurity, it was already mentioned early this morning. Nobody, there are always rumors of war here, that's something normal. But sometimes, unfortunately, the rumors of war are not without foundation. So there's an uncertainty about the security situations of Israel. And of course, there are also general fears that people, sometimes they are connected to age, for instance, whether young people, they wonder whether they will find the right partner or whether they will find the right job. And older people, they are afraid for sickness and they are afraid to lose the partner and they are afraid of death. So, but Jesus, he wants to be with us. He tells us to face the future. I hope you did not get discouraged after what I said. But Jesus, we want to ask with the optimistic note from Jesus. He tells us to face the future with confidence. He promises his peace. He promises his spirit in our lives. He promises to guide us, to lead us if you obey him. He says, peace I give to you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. With his promise of peace, he repeated the words he had spoken already earlier in a reply of a question of Peter. He also said to him, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. It is true that God can bless us richly. He can bless us, really, if we obey him and provide us abundantly with what we need. But we should never think that difficulties can't come. So, in concluding, if we look ahead, we can't know for sure what will happen. But it is important that we obey his commandments, that the Holy Spirit leads us, that we live close to the Lord, that we take time to seek his face, to seek his guidance, to seek his wisdom. And also, it is important not to be afraid, but to have confidence in the Lord. That whatever will happen around us or in the world around us, there's really nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen.